do this kind of by group. This is going to take a yes.
They don't run 6 and 8 furlong.
Can't hear you.
They don't run 6 and 8 furlong races at Battle Middle.
It doesn't matter. The horse is coming from Del Mar. You can put the 6 and a half in here. Granted, they don't run them at Bay Meadows, but that equates the two tracks for you. That's the equivalent. That's the equivalent 6 and a half versus 6 at Bay Meadows. Let's just go through this one together and talk about outbound and down first of all. Just take a look at this. I hope you've looked at them before we got together here. Outbound and down. Does this meet the contender guidelines?
No.
Yeah, it does. Now, I prefer to be close up with the stretch call, but I said close up with the stretch call or better, right? And better is the finish. Okay, now I prefer it at the stretch call, but I wouldn't be too strict in that. The horse was better at the final, so it met the guidelines, right? It won, it steps up off the win. Would you make this horse a contender? You got to look at it, don't you? I didn't like the horse, but you still have to look at it. Some of these horses win. Now, what about Zany Jane Gray?
Yes.
Some of you would keep the horse. How many of you would throw this horse out? All right. Now, I guess how many of you would keep it in? Okay. You would too. But that hand went up late. All right. I threw this horse out. All right. Now, I'm kind of strict on this. If you look at this horse's record, this horse is always dead last or close to it. And look at all of its stretch call positions in every race on its whole chart. Now, the only reason I included outbound in town, which I hated, is that it met the guidelines. Now, in my own thinking, I got rid of outbound in town, but he overcame that stretch call position in his last race, so I didn't throw it out. This horse, how many times has it ever overcome that stretch call position? One time, and it came home in 26-2 that day. Now, if you want to keep it as a contender, it's okay. You're going to throw it. I mean, you're going to wind up the computer and knock it out for you. But this kind of horse is just a bad horse. And I would advise you, if this horse is never in a position to win at the stretch call, why are you considering betting it? And I would be fairly strict on that. You know, because the horse has, what, 8 races, 3, 6, 7 races in its lifetime, and it's never been in a position to win at the stretch call, albeit it won once in a maiden 12-5. Does anybody in here have any idea how good the maiden 12-5s are in California? If they could run $100 claiming races, they would be the maiden 12-5 horses. Okay, you should have an understanding of that if you play in California, that there is nothing lower in the state of California than a maiden 12-5. Nothing. What about Jot 'em Down? Okay. Would everybody eliminate this one? Did it meet the up-close guideline at the second call? No, it didn't. This is a 6 furlong race. Up-close is about 2.5 lengths. I would extend that to 3.5. But why go to 4? It's not close to the stretch call, and it's not close to the final. Now, if you want to keep this horse in, I'm just telling you that you're going to lose a lot more of these than you're going to win with. Unfortunately, in this kind of a horse, the computer's going to knock it out for you anyway. Does anybody have any trouble with that? Because it's kind of important. You get a feel for the kinds of horses you want in the computer. The horses you want to consider. What about Broom Trick? Now that is a contender, isn't it? Okay, it's up close to the stretch call. And it's up close to the stretch call a lot. Now take a look at Broom Trick and its positions at the stretch call. And its winning record, which is 3 of 8, isn't it? Now take a look at Zany Jane Gray, who we looked at. Its normal stretch calls and its record. And get a feel for that. This should be a pattern recognition thing that you just look at it and say, out goes one, in comes the other. Any problems? All right. What about Ballard Canyon? That's Absolutely. I mean, you can throw the source out. There's no reason to do that. What about Molly O'Day?
I don't know.
Well, see, now Molly O'Day presents a little bit of a problem because she's coming from a lot better racetrack in which she ran third. Now, remember I told you, do not be too strict. Now, consider the third place finish in this race at a higher track at a higher level. Okay, how many horses were in that field?
11.
11, right? Where did she finish?
Third.
So how many $16,000 horses at a higher racetrack did she have behind her?
Eight.
Does that qualify her at $10,000 at a lower racetrack?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Absolutely. What about Studiously?
Oh. No.
No way this horse is out. This horse is beaten 2.5, coming on at a higher level. Okay, so she's 2.5 to the final. Let's hear the discussion, because there appears to be some frowns in here.
So was Zany Jane Grey.
2.5.
I beg your pardon?
So was Zany Jane Grey.
Yeah, but look at the stretch call positions on these two horses, though.
Right.
Okay, yeah, normal stretch call, not the last race. Okay, look at this horse. Is this horse ever in a position to win at the stretch call? Is Zany Jane Grey ever in a position to win the stretch call? No, it's a thin line, but you've got to make it. When it becomes automatic, I guarantee you will be a better handicapper. When you can look at these horses and throw one out and keep the other. Absolutely. And it becomes automatic, but it doesn't become automatic until you get a fixed sense of the fundamentals. And when those are fixed, then these calls become automatic. And that speeds up the process. What about Eager and Quick? Sure, she's a winning racehorse, and she's always there, isn't she? You can trust a computer now. At this point, you have Eager and Quick, Studiously, Molly O'Day, Ballard Canyon, and Broom Trick as your main contention in this race. There's five of them. Anybody have any problem with the three we left out? Now, I'm not trying to tell you that it's absolute, fixed in stone, right, what we've done here. But it's right so often that when you're wrong, don't go back and say, well, I can't do it this way. Okay? Because it just flat works. I mean, it's just you have the main contention in this field right now. Now, what about pace lines? And I will say one thing to you about pace lines, and that is if you do not consider the last race strongly, you don't have to use it, but if you don't consider it strongly, you're playing with one hand tied behind your back. Because that is the only measurement you have of the horse's current condition, the only one. Now, you don't have to use it, but you sure have to consider it. Now, what about Broom Trick? You pretty much have to use the last race, don't you? What about Ballard King? Well, see, the reason I have two races written in is that they'll come up, the horse on the program you're going to see will come up dead even on both of them. So be my guest. You can use either one. The last race is very good, and when the last race is very good, you have a little flexibility. The horse is in form, so you can use the previous one if you want. Yes?
I find that Fairplex variants don't, and times of Fairplex don't, travel well to other tracks. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, let me repeat the question. He has found that Fairplex variants, Fairplex numbers, don't travel well to other racetracks. There's a reason for that. First of all, Fairplex is a 5/8 mile racetrack.
Right.
All right. And horses become bull ring specialists.
Right.
And they either like it or don't like it. But I have found that they're fairly transportable. Okay, and that's pretty much the game you've got. If you ignore those three, you go to Los Alamitos, which is also a bull ring, and now you're ignoring the current form completely on this horse. So I'd stay with the Fairplex, and then you have to decide in your own mind whether or not you'll accept Fairplex races. I do. Molly O'Day? Pretty much doesn't matter, but I would stay to the last one because there are some form questions on this horse, and you all have them. So I wouldn't go beyond the last race. And besides, it's a good race, and it's actually a better rated race than the previous race. But she hasn't been out for a while. Studiously.
All right.
Okay, I'd be my guest on that one. The last one's good, so you can go back further than that. Take a look at this horse's normal speed ratings. The last four, 85, 79, 80, 75. Does the 75 tell you something about the condition of the track today it ran?
Yes.
Alright, I chose to use the race before that. And the reason I chose to use the race before that, it's more indicative of the horse's form. Because even the winner in its last race only earned a 78. And since I don't have true variance for Bay Meadows, I've got to be a little more careful with that. So if you lose the last race, don't you overly penalize Studiously? So anybody, can everybody see that?
Yeah.
Eager and quick.
Last race.
Yeah, otherwise you're into ancient history at a different racetrack. Now the problem with this horse, actually, there is none. That's a fairly typical speed rating for the horse.
Tom, if we use the last race now, aren't we also penalizing this horse?
Well, but this horse has got a lot of speed ratings in the 70s. 79, 72, 79, 75. We'll just have to take... I mean, it would be, if you had a second race beyond that, it might be tempting to use it, but you don't have that. So you got to go with what you've got. Okay. Yes? Marty? Yeah, all right. You're picking a baseline, right? Now, see, one of the guides to picking a baseline should be that it's representative of the horse. Marty, you've read that a number of times, right? So now take a look at this horse. In its last four races, excluding the route at Golden Gate, the speed ratings are 85 at Pleasanton, which is a little high anyway, 79, 80, and in an improved race, at 12.5, it only gets 75. Now, I think you can safely make the conclusion, because there are a lot of conclusions you have to make, and you just make them wrong. Everybody does. Sometimes. But the conclusion I think you can make is that the track was particularly slow that day. The 22 variant confirms that, the track variant. So why not use the one before that? Because you're not ignoring a bad race. It would be different if you were ignoring a bad race for that speed rating, but you're not. Okay, so we have the whole ball of wax here. Now, I got to tell you the nice thing about the program we're going to see is that prior to with the basic Phase 3 program, I always dealt with the daily racing form variant at a track like this against the average variant. But this program that you're going to see now, the automatic adjustment is pretty good, as it is in Synergism 2 and some of these other programs, that they do a good job of adjusting the daily variant. Where you have to be careful, and especially at Pimlico in a moment, is that you have to adjust the track to track. But once you've done that, the program does a great job of adjusting the daily variant, and you can trust it. Now, at Pimlico, for example, the track is 3 lengths slower for the first quarter mile than it is at Laurel. There isn't any program in the world is going to make that 3-length adjustment for you. So you make it, and let the computer take care of the daily variant. Is that clear? Okay, so now let's put this up on a board. First of all, with what we've done, you should have a kind of a good feel how this race is going to go. Now we're going to put it up on the board, and then let you make your betting choices from the program, and then we'll talk about how the race actually came out. Spencer, I can't see from here, but I guess I can take this off.
Yes.
Furlongs. So you get a feel from Ali O'Day versus the other horse at 6 furlongs. So hit the automatic projector, because she was at 6.5. Take a look at her now. All right, here it is. Now, Molly O'Day's race is equivalent 1, 10, and 3. So she comes out of the best race in here, with the exception of... Is that Studiously? Yeah. All right, so that gives you a feel then for that race if it were at 6 furlongs, and it's very accurate. Go to the next one. Enter. All right, add a review horses. We don't want to do that, so hit enter again. Automatic projector, we've already done that. All right, now at this stage, let me tell you, the pace adjustment you're getting on Eager is 0.93, and I'm not sure how much it uses, and I really don't care, because it works just fine. I use my own variance in Southern California, so what I do is, you see where it says enter, accepts adjustment? And for those of you taking my variance, this is the way you do it. Is you hit, you type in E, and then put in a zero. No, don't do this. You type in E, and then put in zero, because you will have adjusted the line with the variance before you ever did this, right? Okay. So eager, just hit enter, just accept the adjustment. It's just fine. Studi, coming out of the best race, would have a minus compared to the rest of the field. Just hit it. Let the computer do the work. Hit it again. Hit it again, Woody. Hit it. Hit it. All right, now, bar graphs. Let's take a look at some of these. Hit the one. Now, these are by fractions. In other words, the best first fraction in the race is Ballard. The second best is Molly, and so on down the line. Then there's the second fraction, the five being outbound, being the horse moving the best in the second fraction, eager. And then there's the final fraction, which gives studiously, by far. It's a big, big difference in here. So if the track is playing sustained, studiously is going to get a nice hit. We'll go back to the menu. Let's go to pie charts, four. This is an interesting screen, too, because this is your turn time fraction now.
You can use your laser.
No, I'd have to find it and trip over this, so I'll... Yeah, maybe I will use it. Well, this is fun.
High-tech stuff.
Can I call my wife and tell her I strangle myself with these cords? Testing, one, two, how does this work?
You push like this. Get on the ant floor. No. Like this.
All right, got it. All right, there's the turn time horse in the race outbound. When you looked at the bar graphs a few minutes ago, who was the top horse on the bar graph in the second fraction? It was outbound, wasn't it? So that's the turn time horse in this race. Unfortunately, for everybody betting outbound, that horse has absolutely no speed in the first fraction. So if you don't run in the first fraction, you sure as hell ought to be running in the second fraction. The horses that are actually contending in this race... The turn times are fairly close together with the exception of Ballard. And there's a reason for that. Is that the way Fairflex races are run, if you understand that, the Fairflex races are run very quickly into the first turn because it's a short run. So they really accelerate early and then they kind of even out on that turn. So you get a very fast first fraction, a slower second fraction. And so anytime you're matching up a horse from Fairflex with other horses, you have to be aware of that. That the first fraction is off and the second fraction is off. Second call is on. But it comes about differently. So Ballard can't be discarded for any reason here. So there's the turn time, and we're just looking at this basically to give you a feel for the program. Go back to the menu. Here's pace of the horse, pace of the race. If you'll hit it. This is the way Eager matches up against the pace line it chose. And Eager holds pretty well until the final part of the race, and it wilts a little bit. But the horse is able to keep up with the pace. If the pace is similar to what you're looking at on the screen here, then Eager's a strong contender. Go beyond that. Now we have to cycle through all of it. This is the screen you're looking at, how the horse matched up against the pace it was running, the race it was running in. And as you can see studiously, after falling behind the first fraction of that race, it then begins to pick it up in the second fraction and pretty strongly in the third fraction as well. So the horse, after falling back in that race, was able to gain on the pace of the race the rest of the way. Want to go beyond that? Now, Molly comes out of a faster first fraction race, but they tend to run a little faster down here than they do up north. Down here, where are we now? In Southern California than they do in Northern California. All right, go on to the next one. And to the next one. And now let's get out of the screen. All right. Now, this is where it's fun. This is the instant pre-play. I love this name. And what you're going to get a look at are the deceleration ratios now. And you're going to get a look at it at an early and sustained. And whichever one comes up first. Which one's up first?
Wait a minute.
Oh, you want to throw it?
We'll get out of this.
Yeah, let's get out of it fast.
Ew.
Yeah, you don't want to give away the game here. Come on, Spencer.
We'll get to go all the way around.
You can't get good help around this place. They wouldn't do this at the Mirage. All right. Let's go hit the five this time. Now this is a race. This is a look at the race from a sustained standpoint. That's speed deceleration up top. Now, you might want to write some of these down, because in a few minutes you're going to make your betting choices in this race. Yes?
Before Spencer went to the Theromation screen, you were talking about the first screen, stop-action screen coming up.
That's this.
And does it variegate with sustained?
Well, this is if the race goes, if the race goes sustained, if the races are winning sustained, if this particular rating is winning, the only way you can keep track of that is just by writing it down occasionally. If the races are winning on, if from this fraction, or from this look at the program, studiously wins. Okay? If it's winning, if the EXD, if the early deceleration is winning, then you may get another win. That's the way you look at this screen.
Why did this screen come up first?
Why did it come up first? Is that because the race is variegated sustained, Jim?
Yeah.
Okay. The race is being variegated, predicting, the program's predicting it to be sustained. Okay. The track, this is, the track was running sustained instead. But that's, now I'm giving away the winner, right? Studiously. Who is second in there? Outbound?
Yes.
And Ballard third, right? Now please write these down, because in a moment I'll ask you to make your betting.
Molly's third.
Well, I can't see it. Okay, Molly's third then.
Yes.
I'm at a distorted angle. All right. So studiously, Outbound and Molly if the race is sustained. So if you write those down and make your bet, whatever your betting level is, we're going to win some money here. Unfortunately, it's on paper. Not at the time, but it is now. Go to the EP. That's the next one. Now, this is the early expenditure. Now, who wins if a race goes early? Guess what? All right. Who's the second horse?
Molly.
Who's the third horse? Ballard, right? Okay. So now let's go back and let's run the race according to Theromation. Okay. Which is a balance of the two. Now my screen doesn't run that fast. My screen's so slow it takes forever to go across. All right. Look at Eager back up. See, Eager just can't finish. Thank you. Go back to the menu. Go back to the menu one more time.
I can do this slow if you'd like.
Do it slow. Go back to the menu and do it slow. Six. And start it and run it slow. So you get a feel for this race. Okay. Ballard Canyon, I think, showed early speed in the program. So did Eager. And Molly had some speed, Broome, studiously. Now look at studiously, come finish it. How's that, huh? I gotta tell you. At first I thought this was just ridiculous. I gotta tell you, I just changed my mind. The winner is so off, just like this. I don't argue with these things. I'm not even banner. I just play them. Anyway, studiously, Molly and Ballard, which is actually second today? I can't see from here.
Molly
is second, right? Ballard third. Studiously, Molly and Ballard. All right, so now, if the race runs early, according to what we've done as a handicapping team, studiously wins. If it goes sustained, studiously wins. The balance of the two studiously wins. Now, who are you going to bet? All right. Let's go back into the menu again. Now, hit. Yes, before you go, question.
A question on the grass. The SP came up first.
Yes.
Does that mean the program picks the race to run sustained?
Yes. Yes.
And if it comes up EXD, then it picks it to run it early.
Yes, and that's something I just found out last night and again a few minutes ago. So, I always wondered why it was coming up differently. Because I already had a feel for which one I'd be looking for because I'm keeping track of the racetrack.
Can you repeat that?
All right. If on the pre-play screen it comes up early first, because sometimes you'll get early as your first look, another time you get sustained. And that was driving me crazy. I figured it was a glitch in the program. I didn't know they were that smart. But he was. And so what the program is doing is predicting that the track will go one way or the other. So if the early comes up first, the program is predicting early. And generally you'll see that because there'll be an MUV difference between the horses that you'll see in a moment. I'll show you the next screen. And you can figure that out now that I realize why it's doing it. I know how it's getting it. But I didn't know. I just thought he screwed it up, but he didn't, obviously. Yes.
Same thing on the super matchup program, whichever one comes up first, a super matchup.
This is super matchup, I believe. Let's go to the next one so we're all familiar with this. We can handicap some more.
The next one.
The next, hit enter. The way we want to, just hit enter. All right. Now this is these are the energies. This is, on the left are the raw energies, and on the right would be the ones with the adjustments you saw earlier. Go to the next one. Now this is the way. Now come to the left. Give us the left screen mainly, Spencer. The right screen is unimportant. So just move it on up, at least for the discussion. All right. Now, according to this screen, there's the first fraction. Now these are velocity ratings. Now, there's the first fraction. There is the second fraction, which shows Ballard in front on the first one, but the Ballard would be in front because of that fairplex thing again. Alright, slowing down in the second fraction, which may or may not happen here. Molly is kind of consistent, but she comes from a track that runs faster in the first quarter. Eager is balanced with Bay Meadows, and you can see Studiously not too all that far behind, keeping up, and then you can see Studiously's advantage in the third fraction. Look at that. And if this track runs sustained, and it was running sustained, and actually I think it still is, Studiously is a strong closer in this field. I'll go to the next screen. These are all your traditional Phase 3 type numbers, for the most part. EP, early pace, factor W, hidden energy, sustained pace, factor X, late expenditure, and the NUV, Howard defined that yesterday, and that was basically the energy units of the second call. Now, outbound is ridiculous. Look at the NUV on outbound. That horse is at the 16th pole when the rest of them cross the finish line. Not quite, but I mean, this horse has got a lot to make up. And several people said they would throw the horse out. I would, too. I would never consider betting. But I gave you some guidelines, and it matched that we used the horse. So look at the rest of them. They're all fairly competitive in here. Molly being a little bit out of it, maybe. Is that a 106 or 186? Yeah. All right, Molly's in it, too. So those five are pretty well in contention, according to the MUV matchup.
Low is better.
Low is better. In other words, Ballard Canyon seems to be the horse that is most likely to be in the lead. Not necessarily, but it's the horse with the most energy to be in the lead. And if it's not in the lead, it'll be coming on at that point. Now, have you made your bets? You made your bets, all right. Go through the rest of the screen. I find this to be quite important, too. And this is for Jimmy. Is Jimmy here? All right, I have a question for Jim myself here. These seem to be more velocity-oriented than the earlier screens, the pre-play S and early. I'll ask him in a minute. Anyway, if let me get Jim here. I want him to ask you a question. Pardon? We'll get the answer later then. All right. Let's just run over this. I don't even know what the hell this means, but I'm using it. All right. For those of you that insist on understanding everything in every program, I think it's more important you make them work. And at Santa Anita, for example, the presser, par XP, the P is for presser, early sustained presser, the par XP was absolutely deadly. In the last 36 sprints at Santa Anita, 19 were number one in this rating. Howard.
Yes.
Well, the question is, these seem to be more velocity-oriented than the deceleration ratings earlier, because often you will get a little different look on the race from these ratings than you did from the deceleration. So I think that's a safe conclusion.
All right, what it's saying is, whether you establish pars as Tom likes to do, or whether you take the established pars from the dream race, RXE is how the horse runs against the established or dream race par early. RXP is how it runs against the established par in the presser.